Time for Community Matters, brought to you by Metro County Hospital Health Systems. We're joined, as we usually are, the very last Wednesday of each month by Beloit City Manager Jason Raby to talk about what is going on in the city of Beloit or in the nearby vicinity as well. And Jason is all ready to go. He's fasted for 48 hours so they can pick out on Thanksgiving meals coming up tomorrow. Yep. And I do say meals.
Yes.
A lot of people get caught up in Thanksgiving, like, about the one meal. No, there's more than one meal.
Yeah. I've actually already had a pregame meal.
Pregame taste,
yeah,
huh?
So, yeah, my daughter has the fortunate luck, I guess, of being in Mrs. Pruitt's class there in fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
I always have a big Thanksgiving feast. And so
nice.
Yesterday we kind of got the warm-up meal. So
nice.
It's a good little prep. Let me know where my weaknesses are, what I need to work on. So I'm ready to go by tomorrow.
Nice dress rehearsal.
Yeah, nice dress. Nice dress rehearsal.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving food item, and what is your least favorite?
Boy, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, you know, obviously just the turkey and the mashed potatoes. Not a big green bean casserole guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're one of those people, just not that.
Yeah. Dusty said that yesterday as well.
Yeah, I was commenting yesterday. It is funny how many foods we eat that we don't normally.
True.
You know, it's just like, okay, this is that 1 week stretch where I eat,
right.
You know, that canned cranberry jello stuff, you know, whatever
right.
it is.
Yeah. whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny.
Dusty thinks that the Thanksgiving meal, as he says, is, what did he say, an average meal. I said, so you're saying it's overrated? And he said, well, I guess I am.
Yeah.
And so we were having this discussion yesterday along with Riley, and Riley and I both said, we don't agree with that. But I have heard somebody say, well, if this is such a great meal, why do we only have it once a year? And I say, well, I don't. It's
well, probably because we just kill it too much.
Yeah,
just like anything. You eat too much of it, you don't want to eat it again.
True,
for a long
which
time.
You really do after a couple of days.
Exactly.
There's leftovers. That's what I'm talking about, those meals. There's three meals.
Yeah.
You go snack on everything, and then more ham.
Yeah, turkey sandwich.
Turkey. Yeah, another turkey sandwich again, you know. But anyway, it'll be fun. Okay, so let's get to what is going on that you're dealing with. Well, first of all, census. You and I were talking a little bit here before we went on the air about a census. Explain that.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, next year's 2020, which is just crazy to think that time has gone by that fast. Seems like it was just 2010, but it'll be another 10 years, and there'll be another census, you know, so that's kind of the big push, and obviously that trickles all the way down to the local level, and so it's really important for us in a lot of different ways. It's things you don't even think about, but you know, there's kind of the idea that it impacts us about $2,000, I want to say $2,000, I should know this better, over the course of 10 years for each person that's counted. So, I mean, it ends up being a lot of dollars when you're talking about it. And it can be anywhere from free and reduced lunch to your you know, some senior programming to housing programming, you know, all those types of things. So it's a really important thing that we make sure we get an accurate count. And really what we're doing is we're putting together a complete count committee. That's kind of what the census has asked us to do on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's people involved from nursing homes to schools to hospitals, just making sure that we get all the populations counted, you know, because honestly, a couple of the categories that are undercounted usually are hard to count is what they call it, are kids six and under, because you just start thinking it's me and Susie and Johnny over here, and they, you know, it's the two babies, you know, and they don't really count them or whatever for some reason. And then population 65 and over, and that's, you know, mainly due to the fact of, again, in nursing homes, or they don't respond, or they're hard to track now, they're at the hospital or whatever else. So we want to make sure we count those so we get an accurate representation of our community. And so we basically have this committee that will help raise awareness and education, and they're going to do it a little bit different this coming year, primarily because technology has changed and continuing on. So one of the things they'll be doing is just sending each residence a code that will be unique to your residence, and you can go out and fill out the census online. And so, and again, the census is really simple. I think it's 9 or 10 questions, you know, nothing crazy more than I could probably guess on you anyways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, name, address, you know, number of people and that kind of thing. And then if you don't respond to that, then they will probably send you another invitation.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't respond to that, then they'll probably send you the paper form.
Sure. Right.
And then the final thing would be, they would come knocking on your door type of thing, but it's going to be really cool. I mean, they're going to have, you know, they'll use the census takers that will have to go around. They'll have live data to know who's responding, who's not, and how well we're doing. So we can kind of keep telling people, hey, get this done. You know, it's a good thing.
Better way to track people and
to
put this together.
Absolutely. So important thing for our community, obviously for our country, but it boils all the way right down to Main Street, you know, so it's a big
Isn't that
deal.
Crazy? We're talking about counting people.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that weird? Saying. It's still something we're doing. Yep.
It does sound weird, no doubt.
Yeah,
they do that at church sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
How many people have attended. That's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Jason Rabia, City Manager of Beloit, our guest today on Community Matters, brought to you by Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. All right, a solar project. So tell us about this.
Well, yeah, I think you've probably seen it in the minutes here, the last couple of meetings and obviously, Beloit owns their own electric utility, and it's something that we need to. It's something as a technology is maturing. You know, it's kind of like flat screen TVs. You know, 20 years ago, a plasma TV cost you $10,000 to buy a small 42-inch TV.
Someone for $148 on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
On the TV
yeah.
the other day.
Yeah. Now they can't hardly give them away.
Right.
So,
exactly.
And they're bigger and better.
Sure.
You know, so it's kind of the same thing here. Obviously, solar as a technology has been around for decades. But as a viable and priced to where it can compete with other energy sources, where it makes some sense. And so, Beloit, we're lucky, again, that we own our utility. And we're also lucky to live in Kansas where there's a lot of sun.
Right.
You know, and so obviously it's not the, for us, it may not be the main solution. But again, just like we got wind. We got a wind piece of power down against not here. It's located in Hayes, but about a year and a half ago. And that's turned out really well. I mean, it's really cheap. But again, wind's kind of on at different times.
Sure.
You don't need it. And solar, really, especially for Beloit, you know, we have a very traditional power curve, if you will. So at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're using the most power that we use. You know, everybody just get done with lunch and all this crazy stuff going on. Two or three, the air conditioner's on during the summer. We peak right when the sun's peaking, usually, is what I'm trying to say. So the solar profile fits that really good, that 10 to 4 o'clock, it fits it really well. So as part of a diversity and making sure that we have we can continue to try to lower our power costs, and that's something that the council will be talking about the rates here coming up, because we kind of tweaked them here about a year ago, and now we're going to need to tweak them again because our power costs have continued to drop, which is a good thing. We want to continue to try to pass that on. In fact, I was just looking at my bill the other day, and, you know, I think it was my per kilowatt was about 11% less comparatively to last year. So it's something we want to continue to do, and I think this solar will help us do that as well. So we're looking at like a 1 or 2 megawatt project potentially, and we have some ground that we own, and it'd be a tracking system, but just one axis, so it could kind of follow the sun east to west, and really help us with those peak times when the power is the most expensive
we
have to buy in the marketplace. So and they've gotten really simple and really easy to install and to manage, and between the college here in town and some other local colleges that are really into the solar stuff, probably gives them some access to look at something. And the high school, I know Beloit High School is really big into it, so I really see some partnership with that. So, and then also finally, then there might be some community solar. What they call a community solar program participation. So, you know, if you're saying, hey, I'm really interested in solar, I don't necessarily want to put on my property or have room for it, I would buy into this thing and then get a reduced, a credit on your bill or something like that for that ownership. So a lot of exciting stuff with that, and the fact that we're in a position where we can do something like that, it's kind of been going on all over Kansas here the last year or two. So it'd be another good addition to our utility.
Absolutely. Let's see, you're working on kind of like a land swap and then working on maybe owning fairground land. Okay, let's go. There's two entities or things here that we're talking about. Let's talk about North Campus and what you're doing there.
Yeah, well, obviously, I don't even know, Wade. You probably, not quite 10 years ago when that whole North Campus thing happened.
Maybe probably somewhere around there, seven, eight years
ago.
I'm not good at knowing these things because
I want to say 2012-ish or something like
because
that.
Because the Centralia Smith Center game, I thought was like about 5-6 years ago, was actually a full decade ago.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Time goes
well, that's
by
what
when
I'm
you're
saying.
Having fun.
It's like
so,
2010.
I know it happened while I was here, right early when it might have been a little longer than 10 years ago when that actually was shut down, but it was early on when I was here. So you're pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah. So, but so again, the city kind of took that over, and there's been a lot of good with it. Obviously, it's kind of a big, a lot of buildings, a lot of stuff to go along with that and responsibility. So that's been, on the burden side, obviously. But on the flip side, we've got daycares located up there, the library, the law enforcement center, the alternative learning center. I think they're calling it transitional learning center now, which has been a great benefit for our area and other local school districts. So, So what we're trying to do is just try to get that kind of situated, and it kind of goes in hand with the sports complex area. Everybody kind of owns different pieces all over. So
it's a little bit complicated.
We're trying to simplify that. So something the school district and us have been talking about and kind of come to kind of an agreement, basically, where they'll be able to, you know, and it's a win for them, too, because obviously building new square footage or moving that is really expensive. And while these buildings aren't perfect, they're much more, a lot cheaper,
right.
and you'd be money ahead in the long run if you had to invest a little bit in them. So that big kind of elementary looking school building right across from the high school and then the two daycares and the surrounding grounds, they're going to take over and own. Will help them a little bit with the HVAC. The HVAC needs to be replaced and it's shot, you know, something that whether we were keeping it or not, we're going to have to be doing. So that'll help them long term. And then we're going to take over kind of where the cookie baseball field is and that side.
Right.
And so yeah, it's, like I said, it's a win for them because then those buildings, that square footage that they need to continue, and it takes that burden off of us,
right.
You know, and especially that whole facility long time ago was heated with a big boiler. I mean, it's huge, you know, it's you know, size of a semi truck, you know, so big and complicated and expensive to run, especially with small square footage. Now that we've taken everything off of it, you know, that big 3-story building on there, you know, it's not operating. And so we'll be able to transition that off and kind of get everything on their own. And so I think in the long run, I'm hoping it'll be a win for our parks department because they're the one that have had to take that burden, but ultimately the taxpayers too. So so we got that going. And then obviously you referred to the other land swap. So again, the whole Boyd Sports Complex is kind of on land leased, long-term lease, all that kind of stuff from the Mitchell County Fair Board. So been trying to work with them, trying to figure out how do we get that transitioned over, what, you know, what does that look like? And of course the big thing, like anything, any negotiation we've all been a part of is
price.
Dollars. Yep, exactly. So, so that's kind of been, you know, it kind of speeds up, slows down. It's just one of those, just going to take some time probably. And, you know, we've, continued to whittle down to kind of a central number, but, you know, it's something that, you know, I think myself and the person representing the fair board, you know, they got boards of people they got to convince to.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the tough part, which is exactly what you're supposed to do. That's what the governing body's for, right?
Yeah.
So, but ultimately, you know, we've made further progress on that than we ever have. So I think that the solution's out there. We'll get it figured out, and we can continue to make that area better. But.
Right.
I'm excited because I think that, you know, this is kind of the first step,
right.
You know, because then, you know, one of the main things is just even trying to improve the parking in that area. And I think we've got, you know, if you've been part of the sports complex, kind of the redesign and stuff. I mean, this is really the first step anyways.
Absolutely.
Getting that piece across the street and being able to do some improvements to the cookie ball field situation, but also a big parking lot, which will fix everything. You know what I mean? I mean, that'll just be a huge benefit for that whole area.
So. Yeah, it really would. It'd be great if we can get all that accomplished, but it'll just take time.
That's right.
And patience. And some people have that and some people don't.
We're getting there. But that's just it. And that's why I tell people, because they're like, well, we can get, you know,
step by step.
Here's the first step. And if we didn't start this, we would never got here. So
we're
already further ahead than you ever thought you could be.
That's exactly right. Yep. Exactly right. Okay, anything else that we should cover before we let you go so you can go eat your turkey and your ham and your stuffing and your pumpkin pie?
Not really. Just hope everybody stays safe for Thanksgiving. I think Isle Vite's what starts up.
Is that I believe so. It'll be here, obviously, over Thanksgiving.
Tonight, I think, actually.
Yeah, I think so. That's right, because it's open Thanksgiving Day all the way through the end of the year.
So it's exciting for our town.
It's a great thing for people to check out. I always have different displays each and every year, and it takes a lot of work, a lot of volunteer work to put all that up, and some of the schools are involved in helping with that initial setup, which is good. As well. All right. So the most important question I'm going to ask you today, Hawkeyes or Huskers on Friday?
Well,
you're a Hawkeye fan, so Husker fans, you know, close your ears.
Yep.
That's a big game.
Analyzing this game. It's, you know, it's a tough one. It's going to be tough. It's tough. You know, we're going to be there. It's going to be tough weather.
Sure.
You know, it's tough to keep winning. You know, you got a good streak going. It's hard to always add that one more on there. You know what I mean? And they look pretty good. The Huskers looked pretty good last week.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to go 21-13 Hawkeyes.
21-13 Hawkeyes.
Hey, it's going to be low scoring and tough.
I think I'd probably pick the Hawkeyes too.
I don't know. We'll see.
But that's why they play.
Huskers are really explosive. You know what I mean? It's one of those that they get. I think they get a touchdown going first. It could be a long game. But
that's why they play games.
That's right.
Duke lost last night at home to a team that was a 28-point underdog. So that's why we play the games.
Yep.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and safe travels if you are traveling, and we will talk to you again in December.
All righty. Thanks, Wade.
Jason Rabe, the city manager of Bullitt, our guest today on Community Matters, brought to you by Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems.